From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Trump administration's Interior Department has decided to rewrite big sections of the law that helped to save the bald eagle from extinction. Secretary Ryan Zinke on Thursday announced the changes to the Endangered Species Act. That would make it easier for new construction projects to be approved in what's being denounced as a corporate giveaway. The changes will also mean that species currently considered threatened will not receive the same care as those that are considered endangered. The administration is casting its changes to the 1973 law as streamlining it to make it work better. But environmental groups are up in arms about what they see as a gutting of the protections. Rebecca Riley is senior attorney with the Nature Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council. Welcome to the program, Rebecca.
Thank you.
So, of course, the NRDC is one of those organizations that are upset about what Secretary Zinke has announced. This is the Fish and Wildlife Service. What exactly, as far as you can tell, can you summarize for us what the Trump administration plans to do with the ESA?
Sure. So the Endangered Species Act is one of the country's most successful environmental laws. It saved, like you mentioned, the bald eagle from extinction, and it saved hundreds of other species. In fact, 99% of species listed as threatened or endangered have been saved from extinction. So it's a highly successful law. Unfortunately, the Trump administration is doing everything it possibly can to gut the protections of the law. And that means what they did Thursday was they put out a series of three rules, all designed to weaken protections for endangered species. It did that in a whole bunch of ways. There were dozens of changes, but I can talk about a few of the most important ones. For one thing, they stripped called threatened species from protections. There are two levels of protection under the Endangered Species Act. There's threatened and endangered. The threatened species were stripped of their protections by this new rule. Another thing
Just to pause there, currently, as far as I understand, if a species is considered threatened, it receives the same set of protections as a species considered endangered or almost the same, and now that would change?
Right. That was what was called the default rule. So right now, the default rule is that threatened species get the same protections. And that's efficient. I mean, they say they're streamlining things. What they're actually doing here is making things more difficult. Because right now, the way it works is if you list a species as threatened, it automatically gets the protections an endangered species does, unless the Fish and Wildlife Service goes and produces what's called a 4D rule. And a 4D rule and provide more detailed, different protections for the species. Now what the Fish and Wildlife Service will have to do is put out 4D rules for all species or fail to provide them for protections at all.
So what are some of the other changes then? This is just one, as you said, of many, many changes.
Right. So one of the most concerning ones to me that really stuck out was they're trying to insert economic consideration into the listing process. Right now, listing species as threatened or endangered is supposed to be based entirely, and this comes straight from the law, solely based on science. So we look at the threats to the species, their population, future threats, and decide is this species threatened or endangered. Now, the Trump administration is proposing to also have the Fish and Wildlife Service consider the economic impacts of listing. Now they say that they're not going to consider that in the actual decision, that they're just going to talk about it, but that doesn't make any sense.
So basically if it costs too much to save the grizzly bear, that'll be a talking point and may influence whether the government will take steps to save the grizzly bear.
That's right. And the thing is, that's flatly illegal. It completely contradicts what the Endangered Species Act requires, which is listing based on science, not based on these other outside factors.
So what about new construction? We know that Secretary Zinke has, in other ways, threatened our national parks and public lands that are protected because they basically want to open it up. Zinke and Trump want to open it up to development. Are they gutting parts of the Endangered Species Act in a way that would also benefit new construction and development?
There's no question that these rules are designed to benefit new construction and development. In almost every way, that's exactly what these rules are designed to do. One provision in particular is critical habitat, and that's about the actual most important parts of a species habitat. And there are several parts of these rules that are designed to restrict critical habitat, or that say in some cases you don't have to designate it at all. So there's no question that's what these rules are aimed at.
So this particular set of rules, as you said, very, very lengthy list of changes. Does it, is the Fish and Wildlife Service, is the Interior Department going to take public comment on these changes before they are implemented?
Yes. So the good news is these rules right now are just proposed rules. And the next thing that happens is that they open up a comment period, and that gives everyone, every American has the ability to write a comment letter and tell the Fish and Wildlife Service what you think. Now, NRDC will certainly be commenting on these rules and telling the Trump administration all of the problems, but all Americans should do that because it's not just the specific comments that matter, it's the number of them. And so, when there's really big public outcry, that signals something about the rule and hopefully would get them to take a second look.
Okay, so just to give a sense of how well this 1973 law has worked, can you give us an example? We mentioned the bald eagle, I mentioned the grizzly bear, and there are so many species, the humpback whale, so many species that have had their populations actually increase because of this law that was enacted in 1973 that very specifically was designed to ensure we don't lose these critical species. Because, to the Trump administration, it's all dollar signs, but we're talking about life here.
That's absolutely right. The bald eagle is really the classic case of an Endangered Species Act success story. They were really on the brink of extinction back in the 70s because we were using a pesticide called DDT that made their eggs very fragile. They were protected under the Endangered Species Act. And then probably about 10 years ago, they recovered and their populations were so healthy that the Fish and Wildlife Service were able to remove them from the list. And, that's the ultimate goal of this. It's the goal of the Endangered Species Act is to recover species, to make their populations healthy enough that they no longer need the protections of the law. And so that's what the Trump administration should be focusing on. They need to focus on recovery, not gutting these protections.
So you would think that the bald eagle's example would drive the patriotic Americans who take this as a very important symbol of the country. How popular is the Endangered Species Act? Is this something that just environmental groups or liberals back?
The Endangered Species Act is actually an extremely popular law. About 90% of the American public expresses support for the law, and that makes sense. We all have a sense that preventing extinction matters and that it's important and that it's valuable. That's why the law was passed back in 1973 with overwhelming support, because we as Americans do believe in protecting nature, protecting wildlife, and preventing extinction.
Now, haven't there been other attacks to the Endangered Species Act as well? The Union of Concerned Scientists put out a release talking about the endangerment of the Endangered Species Act, saying that the Senate and the House have also introduced bills proposing amendments to the ESA that the Union of Concerned Scientists say would be very, very damaging. So this isn't just coming from the executive branch.
That's absolutely right. Congress has been attacking the Endangered Species Act for years. And just last week, there were 9 bills introduced in the House to weaken the protections of the law. And there was also a discussion draft introduced in the Senate, and they had a hearing on that last week. All of these bills are meant to gut the protections of the act, not strengthen them.
Nine bills. Who are these primarily coming from? And as far as you can tell, what are their interests? Is this construction development interests, big business, the anti-government ideologues, all of the above?
So attacks on the ESA tend to come from a pretty wide-ranging group of interests, the oil and gas industry, mining interests, home builders, and, you know, other developers. So there is a pretty diverse set of interests opposing the Endangered Species Act. But like I mentioned before, there is such widespread public support for the law that really helps to counteract those interests. And although there have been all of these congressional attacks over the years, they haven't been successful. So we will continue to fight them, both in Congress and in court. And we hope to be able to stop the rollbacks.
Now, the Endangered Species Act has apparently successfully prevented 99% of species listed under that law from going extinct. I can't think of any other government, any other law that has been so successful in what it has been designed to do. You don't really get that very often, right?
That's absolutely right. The law is very successful because once we identify the threats to a species, it's not that hard to take action to mitigate them. And that's the way that the Endangered Species Act is designed. We can protect habitat, we can remove threats, and, you know, it's built in a way that's flexible. So it's not something that stops development. It works with development. It just makes sure you don't build the house in the highly sensitive habitat of endangered species. You'll move it over and build it somewhere else where it's not so sensitive. So, you know, we believe all of these interests can coexist, both development and endangered species protection. It shouldn't be a choice of one or the other.
What do you make of the Trump administration's defense, the Interior Department's defense, that this is in no way, these proposed changes that were announced Thursday are in no way an attack on the Endangered Species Act? They're just there to help it work more efficiently, to streamline the process, because currently it's just too complicated.
It's just not true. And as we talked about earlier, a lot of the changes will actually make things worse and make things more complicated. There's nothing streamlined about adding an economic analysis to the listing decision. That's just adding more work, and it makes absolutely no sense because even the Trump administration says in the rule that they're not allowed to consider it. So it's hard for me to see how that actually has anything to do with streamlining.
Now, of course, this administration has made it very clear that it's no friend to science, and this is a very science-based law. It uses scientific research very successfully, as we just discussed, to save species from going extinct. Is there anything in these proposed changes that politicizes scientific research or essentially undermines the importance of scientific research?
So you're absolutely right. The Endangered Species Act is based on science. And when we decide to list a species, it's a very long, in-depth scientific analysis. It actually takes years. And, you know, that's because it's so important that we are really looking at the threats to the species, population trends, and that we're making a good decision based solely on the science. But as we see here, what the Trump administration is trying to do is shift us away from the science. They're trying to shift us towards looking at economic impacts. They're trying to shift us towards ignoring certain impacts like climate change. They're trying to take us away from science. And one of the things that is most important about the Endangered Species Act is that it be based on science, not politics. So that's what we want to make ensure continues to happen.
Another bizarre sounding change apparently is to Section 109 of the Act, which requires state agencies that are working with the federal agency, the Fish and Wildlife Service, on species conservation to provide annual performance feedback to the FWS director regarding the responsiveness and effectiveness of the individual FWS employee to state and local authorities and various stakeholders. This sounds like a lot of bureaucracy that they're adding, as you were saying, you know, the opposite of streamlining. But some are suggesting that this is a way to essentially lead scientists to feel intimidated. Maybe that might lead them to be punished for doing their jobs.
I think this is a perfect example of a provision they've added that's clearly not designed to streamline the act and is clearly designed to bring in illegal considerations to the listing decision. States play an important role in the Endangered Species Act. It's important that they have input, but at the end of the day, the decision is supposed to be made by the federal agencies based on the science. And so, you know, some of these changes are really designed to ensure that states are playing a greater role. And what that's going to do is introduce more politics, not more science.
Rebecca, we talked about development and the interests of developers and making it easier for them to sort of roll over and protections for animals but and species in general. But what about polluters? What about those industries that are polluting? When we talked about the DDT use impacting the bald eagle, there's so many instances of pollution that impact, just as they impact humans, impact species as well. And we know that this is a very fossil fuel friendly administration. Are there provisions in these changes to reward or protect polluters?
Well, you know, everything about these rule changes are designed to cut back on the protections of the law. And there's no question that that's aimed at rewarding, at giving it a handout to polluters to make sure that when they hurt endangered species, that there are fewer consequences. And that's obviously a real problem.
Now, so if Americans are upset about this very, these changes to the law that we said was very, very popular, they can contact the Interior Department public comment period. Can you give us details on when the public comment period will start and end? And are we in any way going to be able to have an impact? The other hallmark of this administration is that it is not very responsive to popular mandate, that you can have hundreds of thousands of comments sent to a government agency, and it may not move the government one bit.
There's no question that's a risk, but I think we have to try to do it anyway. We have to show the Trump administration how outrageous this proposal is and how much support there is for protecting and saving endangered species.
By the way, I should mention that the man who was responsible for helping to bring about the Endangered Species Act, Nathaniel Reed, just recently passed away. And he was someone that devoted his life to protecting endangered species. And it's quite a tragedy. If this goes through, his legacy could certainly be undone. So what are the start and end periods? As far as you know, how long a period is there for people to give comments? Should they simply look up the Interior Department's website?
Yeah, so there's a website called regulations.gov, and that's where all open comment periods are. And that's where you can go to file your comments. The comment period is 60 days, and so it's a pretty short window, but every American has the ability to let their voice be heard and let the Trump administration know that these changes to endangered species protections just aren't okay.
We will find that specific part of regulations.gov and post a link to it from our website, risingupwithsonali.com. Rebecca, are there legal efforts to challenge these changes? Are organizations like yours coming together or considering a legal challenge? Because even though years of congressional attempts to gut the ESA might have failed, this particular way with the Interior Department proposing these changes might unfortunately succeed. Is there any litigation in the works as far as you know?
Right. So litigation can't happen until they finalize these rules. But I have to say, if they finalize what they proposed, they should expect to see lawsuits.
Again, the Endangered Species Act is what we're discussing with all of the major proposed changes to this act. Finally, Rebecca, give out a website where people can find out more about the Natural Resources Defense Council and even the Endangered Species Act. I mean, I don't know if there's a Friends of the ESA organization with national chapters, but you know, unfortunately, when something works well, we tend to take it for granted and assume it's being taken care of.
Right. So the NRDC's website is nrdc.org, and we do have a page all about the Endangered Species Act, and that gives you ways to petition the government to, you know, oppose the congressional bills. We will probably have a link to help you comment on these regulations. There are lots of materials on that website to help you get involved and get engaged and stop the attacks on the ESA.
We'll post a link to that website as well from our site. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Rebecca Riley is senior attorney in the Nature Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council. We've been discussing proposed changes to the Endangered Species Act by the Interior Department that would result in a massive weakening of that very successful law. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And by the way, you can subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes and also our video channel on Vimeo.